kitchen tray. I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David James, and this is another edition of you know what it is. You can hear the flames, the fire. This is Fireside Chat with David James. Yes, I'm sitting here on the couch. Got a little something to drink and some water. I've got the heat disc in front of me, which emulates the fire, the feel of the nice warmth on your face. And I decided to speak with you tonight. I've got my little comfy comforter over me, and I'm ready to look into a few things. I've got a little thing here on German Woman by Joseph Goebbels. And I've never read this before. But I'd like to explore it with you, and we can decide what we think about this, okay? First of all, it says, German women, German men. It is a happy accident that my first speech since taking charge of the Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda is to German women. Although I agree with Treitschik that men make history, I do not forget that women raise boys to manhood. You know what the National Socialist movement is, that it's the only party that keeps women out of daily politics. This arouses bitter criticism and hostility. All of it is very unjustified. We have kept women out of the parliamentary democratic intrigues of the past 14 years in Germany, not because we do not respect them, but because we respect them too much. We do not see the women as inferior, but rather as having a different mission, a different value than that of a man. Therefore, we believed that the German woman, who more than any other in the world is a woman in the best sense of the word, should use her strength and abilities in other areas than the man. I couldn't agree more. And I believe that's the way Yahweh has designed it. After all, I'm interjecting here, of course. The women were not involved in politics and were kept out of politics in America. We all know who got them involved in politics, who tempted them to go against their husbands' wills. I've explained to you this before, that it started here in America with these Jewesses aggravating our women and getting them to have the will to begin to vote, which is the entrance into politics. First you become a voter, soon you're running for office. And so this was against the will of the men. It was against the will of the founding fathers, for the very same reason as here. The woman has a different place in life and a different purpose. Her best use would not be in politics. Her best use would not be as a leader of a country. The father knew the woman's best use and wanted her to be in that functionary position. So he continues, the woman has always been not only the man's sexual companion, but also his fellow worker. Long ago she did heavy labor with the man in the field. She moved with him into the cities, entering the offices and factories, doing her share of the work for which she was best suited. She did this with all her abilities, her loyalty, her selfless devotion, her readiness to sacrifice. The woman in public life today is no different than the woman of the past. No one who understands the modern age would have the crazy idea of driving women from public life, from work, profession, and breadwinning. But it must also be said that those things that belong to the man must remain his. That includes politics and the military. That is not to disparage women, only a recognition of how she can best use her talents and abilities. Looking back over the years of Germany's decline, you see, that would be the same thing as women are not meant to be leaders over men. It is against nature and it is against the will of Yahweh. You do know that. You may have feelings and you may have all kinds of programs in your mind telling you that women should rule over men, but it's just not so. It's fantasy. It's fantasy. suicide. What he says here is important in the sense where women should not take the positions that are for men. Now, I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying totally, but I understand what he is saying. When it's talking about public life or work or profession or breadwinning, I still believe that man should be the leader. It's what's ordained and it's what's natural. You see, as the world goes unnatural and it goes for the unnatural sex and everything else, it becomes perverted. The workplaces become perverted. The Jews have... Women were happy just to come in and work. And the Jews keep reminding them and telling them, oh, you don't make as much as the man. You're not supposed to make as much as the man. And the women were happy until they kept telling them this over and over and over. It's like a relationship. I often tell people this. I notice that two people might have a wonderful relationship, and the woman is happy, so happy in her place, and the man in his. And then she has friends that envy her relationship. And what happens is they come up and they start to say, oh, my husband does this, and my husband, you mean to tell me your husband doesn't wash the dishes after supper when you cook? Oh, you mean to tell me that he doesn't change the diapers of the children? Oh, my husband does all those things. You mean he doesn't do any laundry? And pretty soon, a woman and a man that were both happy in what they were doing and helping each other and doing and functioning properly, then things begin to come up and the woman begins to nag on the husband and says, well, so-and-so's husband does this and so-and-so's husband does that. Where before she was completely happy until she was told and programmed in a way by peer pressure and jealousy, really. And pretty soon the arguments ensue. And if the man will not cuck, if he's a man, you know, an alpha male like myself, then the fights will ensue even more, and pretty soon these two happy people become very unhappy. And this is always the goal of these people that are jealous of your relationship. Why do we always have to let people try to enter in and try to influence what goes on in our relationship? If we're happy, if two people are happy, man and woman, that is, nobody should be trying to enter into it. Nobody should be jealous of it. You see, imagine if the woman knew that that's what went on, and she says, well, you know something? I'm just happy the way it is. I like doing these things for my husband. I have no problem with that. That would shut the other people's mouth. But instead of doing that, the woman follows and goes against her loved one. And these are the kinds of things that destroy marriages. Jewesses are known for this kind of a thing. They hate to see people, two white people, in love. And they'll do anything they can through magazines, television, newspapers, Hollywood, in order to make the woman keep questioning, well, can I do better than this man that I have now? Maybe he's just a stepping stone up to the next man. And of course, the stepping stone up leads towards a Jew, doesn't it? Because they have all the money, right? Understood? I happen to know that young women are told, oh, you need to find yourself a good lawyer to marry, or whatever, you know. Somebody that has lots of money so you can be happy. But are they really happy? Can you really be happy with a filthy, dirty Jew? Can you overlook the filth so that you can just have the money? I mean, after all, even Jewish women, when they marry these filthy, dirty Jews, They give them sex until the marriage takes place. Then they don't do it anymore. Because even they are disgusted by these people. It's kind of like blacks. They don't want to even be with black women. Would you? I mean, the Jewish women and black women are the most disgusting creatures on the face of this earth. I mean, they are the most obtrusive, obtuse, disgusting, big mouth, manly, ugly creatures that I've ever even... I couldn't even think this nightmare up. Let's just put it that way. You can see why the blacks don't want to be with them. They're trying to get white guys to trade their white women for these big mouth shaboons. And I love this idea of blacks being slaves. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I've told you this before. You couldn't give me a black slave. You think I'm kidding you? No, you couldn't give me a black slave. To me, it is one of the most ridiculous ideas to think of a black as a slave, because they're useless. What would I have my black slave do for me? They can't do anything right. They would eat more than the work that they would produce. I don't want to smell them. I don't want to see them. I don't want anything to do with them. You couldn't give me a black slave. I don't need Aunt Jemima to make my pancakes. Jeez, I tell you. Let Aunt Jemima make the Jews pancake. I really don't need it. You know what I mean? So the idea of blacks as slaves is humorous to me, that these blacks actually think they were worth something, like somebody would want to, you know, oh yeah, we took these blacks as slaves, and boy, yeah, that we really got a lot of produce out of them. You might get produce out of Mexican slaves, and you'll certainly get produce out of white slaves, but you'll never get anything out of Jew and Negro slaves. That is one of the biggest jokes in the world. And that's reality. Oh, you racist, Mrs. J. You racist. You know what you can do with that? Stick that where the sun don't shine. All right, let's get back to the... Now that the sun is shining again and the flame is high, let's move along on that, right? Looking back over the past years of Germany's decline, we come to the frightening, nearly terrifying conclusion that the less German men were willing to act as men in public life, the more women succumbed to the temptation to fill the role of the man. The feminization of men always leads to the masculinization of women. An age in which all great idea of virtue, of steadfastness, of hardness, and determination have been forgotten, should not be surprised that the man gradually loses his leading role in life and politics and government to the woman. It may be unpopular to say this to an audience of women, but it must be said because it's true and because it will help make clear our attitude toward women. The modern age, with all its vast revolutionary transformations in government, politics, economics, and social relations, has not left women and their role in public life untouched. Things we thought impossible several years or decades ago are now everyday reality. Some good, noble, and commendable things have happened, but also things that are contemptible and humiliating. These revolutionary transformations have largely taken from women their proper tasks. Their eyes were set in directions that were not appropriate for them. The result was a distorted public view of German womanhood that had nothing to do with former ideals. A fundamental change is necessary. At the risk of sounding reactionary and outdated, let me say this clearly. The first, best, and most suitable place for the woman is in the family. This is what I've said myself, ladies and gentlemen, and only because this is what Yahweh has designed. When I talked about farms on Saxon's Creed, Farmer's Delight it's called, I talked about the woman's role. You see, the Jew tells women that we're talking about white women, because they are the only real women anyway. They tell them that the lowest thing they could be is a mother to children, or to her white children of her family. It's the lowest thing she could be. And the man, the lowest thing he could be is a farmer. That's the lowest profession. And just in case you don't know that, the Jews can't farm. So they say it's the lowest profession so that they can pretend that they're in a higher profession in the counting houses while they rub their hands together. So he says, the first, best, and most suitable place for the woman is in the family, and her most glorious duty is to give children to her people and nation. Children who can continue the line of generations and who guarantee the immortality of the nation. The woman is the teacher of the youth, and therefore the builder of the foundation of the future. See, I've said all these things. I've never read this before. This is correct. You see, your duty, women, is a high duty. Your duty is to grow these youth up and make them great citizens of their country. Of course, that's the dad's duty in other areas, too. But a woman is a great teacher to her children. And it is a very noble duty of the women. So the woman is the teacher of the youth and therefore the builder of the foundation of the future. If the family is in the nation's source of strength, the woman is its core and center. The best place for the woman to serve her people is in her marriage, in the family, in motherhood. But Mr. Goebbels, the Jew, says the absolute opposite. You see, you think about this now. Who's right? Is this propaganda or is this correct? If you leave your children to have a career in a company, a Jewish company, of course, and you're being put in positions to lead over men, which humiliates man, and you're a part of it, you're rebelling against the will of Yahweh, and you're rebelling against nature, human nature. You're rebelling against the laws of nature. And as a ramification of it, your children will be taught the very wrong things that will in turn in the future make them not so good citizens. And therefore your country will weaken, and you'll have undisciplined children, and you'll have children that you're questioning, what happened to my children? It's because you did not teach them and guide them. You did not do what Abraham taught Isaac to do with his children, and what Isaac taught Jacob to do with his children, and so on and so on. So if you do what Yahweh has, you know, instructed you to do, and you become, see, this is one of the reasons why the Jews, they like to say, well, they just wanted to tax the other half of the population, and of course that's true. But it was more than taxing the other part of the population. It was to humiliate man. It was to cause separation between men and women. And it was to harm the youth of the future, to deprive them of their parents, deprive them of that mother being there for them all the time, the protection of the family with the child, which is a protection I never had as a child. Believe me, the family and the farm are the backbone of a nation. And of course, God is the main backbone and his laws. This is why they attack the farm. This is why they attack the family. And this is why they attack the Father in heaven and his establishment. You must understand the devils. These are simple plans, but they seem to have worked. Do you know that I saw an article this week that I'm going to put on my news? And it says that they pay roughly $10 a month for internet over in Russia. And it's a lot faster than the Americans pay for $70 a month. See, something right is happening in Russia. And this is why these Jews are trying to get the world worked up. Somebody wants to make that extra $60 a month for the internet. That's just one of many, 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 many things. He's rebuilding the churches, rebuilding the family, rebuilding the farms. Doing what Mr. Goebbels is talking about right here. Promoting it. Rewarding it. And these devils, these filthy, dirty Jew devils in shoe leather, they can smell the blood from 100 years ago still. These global rats. And they want to get their prongs back into Russia, destroy the church, destroy the farms, destroy the family. And destroy the fact that the people are finding out who did this to them 100 years ago. Germany will also awaken to this too. I don't know if Germany is aware of the book, Germany Must Perish, but they really must read the book. And I read it on some of my shows, not the whole thing, but it was such a joke because it was the Jews who really should be must perish. It was the Jews accusing the Germans of all the things that they do and saying that the Germans must perish, that they must kill all Germans. Let me just take a sip of my drink here. Thank you for your patience, doctors, nurses. Okay, well, so if the backbone of the nation is the family, the farm, and God, the Jew has said all the opposite things. Whom do you believe? Do you think Mr. Goebbels is giving you a bunch of propaganda and nonsense here? Or is what he says here so far proven to be true? I mean, proven throughout the ages to be true. And the Jew, what it has said, and I mean it, has proven to be a lie in all things. These Jews, that's nothing, they do nothing but lie. If they tell the truth at all, they'd tell you the truth so that they can make some money. So, let's go on with the article. If the family is the nation's source of strength, the woman is its core and center. The best place for the woman to serve her people is in her marriage, in the family, in motherhood. This is her highest mission. This does not mean that those women who are employed or who have no children have no role in the motherhood of the German people. They use their strength, their abilities, their sense of responsibility for the nation in other ways. We are convinced, however, that the first task of a socially reformed nation must be to again give the woman the possibility to fulfill her real task, her mission in the family as a mother. Bravo, Mr. Goebbels. Correct. Astute. And right on the target, without sin. The National Revolutionary Government is everything but reactionary. It does not want to stop the pace of our rapidly moving age. It has no intention of lagging behind the times. It wants to be the flag bearer and pathfinder of the future. We know the demands of the modern age, but that does not stop us from seeing that every age has its roots in motherhood. That there is nothing of greater importance than the living mother of a family who gives the state children. German women have been transformed in recent years. They are beginning to see that they are not happier as a result of being given more rights and fewer duties, but now realize that the right to be elected to public office at the expense of the right to life, motherhood, and her daily bread is not a good trade. Remember, I've told you before that about how a woman will sacrifice having children and she'll have a career. And she'll be very unhappy, really. She'll have money, but no time to spend it. She'll have friends, but not real ones, for the most part. And she'll become about 40 years old and decide, geez, I'd love to have some children. But at that point, she's lost her beauty in some cases. In many cases, especially today. And then she'll end up with a Negro or being a lesbian. Women, may I ask you a question? Was that a good trade? Like Mr. Goebbels just said? Is it worth being a man for a time until you realize that you're a woman and want to be a woman at that point, and finding out that you're going to end up probably dead if you marry a Negro, and you're going to end up either way that way against the ever-living father and his will. Is that a good trade? Instead of having children that you could love and bring up and teach and make them the future of your country, so that your country, you would be ensuring that your country would have a future, and that your race, more importantly, would have a future. Would that be a good trade? Because many women have traded for that. And you know what happens? They're very unhappy women. Very, very unhappy women. A characteristic of the modern era is a rapidly declining birth rate of our big cities. In 1900, 2 million babies were born in Germany. Now the number has fallen to 1 million. This drastic decline is most evident in the nation's capital. In the last 14 years, Berlin's birth rate has become the lowest of any European city. By 1955, without emigration, it will only have about 3 million inhabitants. The government is determined to halt this decline of the family and the resulting impoverishment of our blood. There must be a fundamental change. The liberal attitude toward the family and the child is responsible for Germany's rapid decline. Did you hear that? The liberal attitude toward the family, and this is back then, and the child is responsible for Germany's rapid decline. We today must begin worrying about the aging population. In 1900, there were 7 children for each elderly person. Today, it is only 4. If current trends continue, by 1988, the ratio will be 1-to-1. These statistics say it all. They are the best proof that if Germany continues along its current path, it will end in an abyss with breathtaking speed. We can almost determine the decade when Germany's collapse would collapse because of depopulation. We are not willing to stand aside and watch the collapse of our national life and the destruction of the blood we have inherited. The National Revolutionary Government has the duty to rebuild the nation on its original foundations, to transform the life and work of the woman so that it once again serves the national good. It intends to eliminate the social inequalities that once again the life, so that once again the life of our people and the future of our people and the immortality of our blood is assured. The immortality. He knows something about our blood, doesn't he? I welcome this exhibition, whose goal is to explain and teach and to reduce or eliminate harm to the individual and the whole people. This serves the nation and popular enlightenment, and to support it is one of the happiest duties of the new government. Perhaps this exhibition titled, quote-unquote, The Woman, will represent a turning point. If the goal of the exhibition is to give an impression of women in contemporary society, it does so at a time when German society is undergoing the greatest changes in generations. I am aware of how difficult this is. I know the obstacles that had to be overcome to give this exhibition a clear theme and firm structure. It should show the significance of the woman for the family, the people, and the whole nation. Displays will give an impression of the actual life of women today and will provide the knowledge necessary to resolve today's conflicting opinions, which were not primarily the result of contemporary women's movement. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand why now the Jew wanted to go to war with Germany? In other words, they're on the boards if they don't do something about their population. They happen to be the tribe of Judah. And the imitation tribe of Judah, Jews, want to destroy the original tribe of Judah, as always. Do you see that we have this same problem today that the Germans knew about all those years ago? I am blown away by this. I've never read this before. You're hearing it the first time, probably, and I am also reading it for you for the first time. I've never read this before. Amazing. I'm amazed. Aren't these people evil, these Germans? You see how evil they are? They wanted to see that they had nice children and that they had a nice, good families. That's evil. Oh, yes. These filthy, dirty Jews. May Yahweh come soon and put them all in the flame, just like the one you're hearing. But that is not all. The main purpose of the exhibition, The Woman, quote-unquote, is not only to show the way things are, but to make proposals for improvement. It aims to show new ways and new opportunities. Clear and often drastic examples will give thousands of German women reason to think and consider. It is particularly pleasing to us men in the new government that families with many children are given particular attention, since we want to rescue the nation from decline. The importance of the family cannot be overestimated, especially in families without fathers and that depend entirely upon the mother. In these families, the woman has sole responsibility for the children, and she must realize the responsibility she has to her people and nation. We do not believe that the German people are destined by fate to decline. We have blind confidence that Germany still has a great mission in the world. We have faith that we are not at the end of our history, but rather that a new, great, and honorable period of our history is now beginning. This faith gives us the strength to work and not despair. It enabled us to make great sacrifices over the past 14 years. It gave millions of German women the strength to hope in Germany and its future, and to let their sons join in the reawakening of the nation. This faith was the brave women who lost their husbands. This faith was with the brave women who lost their husbands and breadwinners in the war, with those who gave their sons in the battle to renew their people. The faith kept us standing during the need and desperation of the past 14 years. I believe he's speaking of the Weimar Republic too, right? And this faith today fills us with new hope that Germany will again find its place in the sun. Nothing makes one hotter and more determined than struggle. Nothing gives more courage than to face resistance. During the years when Germany seemed destined to decline, a new kind of womanhood developed under the confused veneer of modern civilization. It is hard, determined, courageous, willing to sacrifice. During the 4 years of the Great War and the 14 years of German collapse that followed, German women and the mothers proved themselves worthy companions of their men. They have all borne all the bitterness, all the privation and danger, and did not fail when hit by misfortune, worry, and trouble. As long as a nation has such a proud and noble womanhood, it cannot perish. These women are the foundation of our race, of its blood, and of its future. This is the beginning of a new German womanhood. If the nation once again has mothers who proudly and freely choose motherhood, it cannot perish. If the woman is healthy, the people will be healthy. Woe to the nation that neglects its women and mothers. It condemns itself. Guess who's trying to make us neglect our women and mothers? Can you say the Jew? I know you can. Say it with me. Ready? The Jew. That's who. We hope that the concept of the German woman will again earn the honor and respect of the entire world. The German woman will then take her pride in her land and her people, in thinking German and feeling German. The honor of her nation and her race will be most important to her. Only a nation that does not forget its honor will be able to guarantee its daily bread. Hear that again? Only a nation that does not forget its honor will be able to guarantee its daily bread. Now, I'm going to tell you something, too, here before this we finish this thing. This is why they sent the hordes of Russians and Asian men to come down and to rape these German women. Does that make sense to you now? You know what happened after the war. And let me tell you something again. The Jews did that after the war, and the Jews are doing that again today. Because, obviously, this just opens my eyes a little wider about women. You see what he says here again. Woe to the nation that neglects its women and mothers. It condemns itself. If a nation once again has mothers who proudly and freely choose motherhood, it cannot perish. This is why they're sending these hordes to rape the German women and all the women of Europe and America. I hope you're understanding the world more and more, ladies and gentlemen. These Germans understood, and that's why they needed to be perished, says the Jew. Anybody that understands the Talmud, understands people like myself, the Jew would say needs to perish, because we can't have people understanding what's going on in the world. And that's what I do for you, ladies and gentlemen. Or should I say, that's what Yahweh does for you through me. So he says that the German woman should never forget that. Only a nation that does not forget its honor will be able to guarantee its daily bread. I declare this exhibition open. May it reveal all the former errors and show the way to the future. Then the world will once again respect us, and we will be able to affirm the words of Walter von der Vogelweide, who had this to say about the German women in his famous poem. He who seeks virtue and proper love should come to our land. There is much joy. Long may I live there. We used to have joy in America. But now we have Jewish comedians that are vile and vulgar. We used to have beautiful women in our nation. But now the food companies have modified the men and women, their bodies, and made us ugly. We used to have pride in the nation and love the national, we had national pride. It still exists, but the Jew wants to wipe it completely out, like it wants to wipe the white people of these Israelite nations out. It wants to wipe out Germany, because Germany's the tribe of Judah. And right now, they're about to wipe out the people of South Africa and take their land And the Boers are the ones they're wanting to wipe out, not the Afrikaners, who are not Germans. The Boers are also the tribe of Judah. The Irish, some of the Irish are tribe of Judah. You saw that the Jews in England persecuted Ireland for years and years and years and years because part of them are the tribe of Judah. They didn't have the guts to try to do it to Scotland, though, who are also the tribe of Judah. But in America, we had 55% of the population in World War I, 55% of the population in America was German, tribe of Judah. And that's why they wanted to send us to war against the tribe of Judah in Germany. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, that what you're seeing is you're seeing the fact that why don't they want us to look at Germany? Why do the Jews want to keep Germany a closed issue? Because, I just told you why. Because Germany and Hitler understood the problem of the world, the Jewish question, understood who was doing these things to our people, understood that we were being genocided then. Never mind now. They still try to claim we're not being genocided, and yet they're calling for our genocide every day and in every way. Through war, through child ritual murder sacrifice, which is the abortion table. I told you. You see, you have to just... I'm going to mention this because maybe you haven't heard me say this. This is important to know this. The Jews were kicked out of... Now, it used to be 109 times, but now there's 359 accounts of them being kicked out of the countries of Europe. The Israelite nations. And all the things they were kicked out for were things like child ritual murder sacrifice, usury, general nastiness, filthiness, uncleanliness, perverted things, race mixing, stealing people's properties, crime, etc., etc. They were not kicked out of countries because they were a holy people, believe me. They're about as far from being good as you could be. And so what they learn by being thrown out of all of these countries is they learn to put into law the fact that they could do all these things that they were getting thrown out of the countries for before. So now they practice usury, do they not? Yes, they do. Now they practice Jewish ritual murder sacrifice. But they've done that by legalizing abortion, which is child ritual murder sacrifice. They're drinking the blood of children. They're passing around the flesh of children and organs and all kinds of things. Passing the blood around. And it's legal in our countries. Stealing is legal in our countries. The Jew has made that legal for them. Of course, their laws are not real laws, and we should not be recognizing them, yet the world is recognizing them at this point. But I really do believe that people are starting to understand that something's very wrong with the picture. A lot of people don't know what it is. And they certainly don't think it's the Jews yet. But then again, things are starting to turn. I believe that the tipping point has happened. And I think that there's so many bullets, arrows, words, thoughts, deeds, questions that are coming toward the Jew that they can't no longer squelch it all. As hard as they're trying to squelch it, it continues to grow. And it is amazing, and praise the Father in heaven that it is this way. For it can't go on forever. We can't go on forever letting... They just stole $20 million from a bunch of French people over there. They're stealing money in all these nations. They're stealing our military secrets. Here in America, they're involved in the... Oh my goodness, 11 for the 11 Dukes of Edom. They're involved in the Pentagon. And the Pentagon has had trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars stolen from it. We knew that because we were told before we knew it, before 9/11, the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld came out and said that $2.3 trillion went missing from the Pentagon. It was taken by Dov Zakheim, a Jew, who was the comptroller of the... You understand? Now, he stole that money, and then he was one of Obama's advisors. And lo and behold, nobody's questioning Dov Zakheim. Nobody's saying, hey, where's the $2.3 trillion? Everybody knows where it went. It went to Israel. So not only do they steal our money that way and through black budgets and through, feed the children and all this nonsense and through the church and through every other way, through tax money, but then they want us to give them billions and billions of dollars to fund their military when they're sitting on half the world's wealth, at least. They've got control of the gold, which is real wealth. And so, when do we go get them? When do we say enough is enough? When do we say, listen, we've sacrificed our happiness long enough? Because it wouldn't take long to go get them. I even told, in case they were listening to my show, I told the Muslims who drive the cabs and they're involved in the post office now and everything else, make a database of where all these Jews are and go get them when the time comes. But the first thing you do is make the database. Remember they said they were going to make a database of us? Well, two can play that game. And you know, I've found out that they're hiding in all kinds of places, folks. You can be assured of that. You know, this was a fast show, I must say. And I really am happy about the subject matter. It's just what I would say and how I would say it. Thanks to Dr. Goebbels. And thanks to the Father Yahweh and the German people who gave their lives to try to save us from this Jewish hell. I'll see you next time on Fireside Chat with David James.
The edge of day, engaged in play, I've walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wonder what it's all about. The rain, the heart on your facade, you kept it hidden. And the ozone glow. left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just